We are studying today the teachings of Satchidananda, and his interpretation of the holy scripture from the Indian subcontinent. Welcome, Sam. Called the Bhagavad Gita. Our purpose in the class is to look for a path for our own personal spiritual transformation. We've been studying his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita for quite a while now, so we'll begin in the middle of our studies. I noticed that last time we were having some difficulty with Satchidananda's teaching and his concepts. Teachings and concepts, struggling to integrate it into our own way of thinking. I sometimes have the same struggle to integrate his teachings into my consciousness. And yet I am so much in awe of this man's spiritual grounding that I give myself to his teachings and look and try and find deeply in myself what it is he's trying to resonate with. We're looking at chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita today, which is called Karma Yoga, or the Yoga of Action. Yoga meaning in this sense the whole consciousness with which we engage in life. Here in the West, yoga generally means hatha yoga, positions that people take, exercises. The ancient meaning of yoga is a way of life, It could include religious concepts, but in the larger sense, it is how to live our lives so that we may experience our original selves, which is a state of peacefulness. One of the areas to study is the Yoga of Wisdom. That was chapter 2. We looked at that. Now we're looking at action. Karma meaning action. Yoga of action. We're going to begin with sloka number 7, and then we'll jump on. Sloka number 7 is, in order to excel, meaning to achieve our highest potential as human beings, mentally control the senses. This doesn't mean we don't have senses, or we negate our senses or ignore them. Rather, we are in mental control of them. We are the witness of our senses. We have our senses, they don't have us. Okay? In order to excel mentally, control the senses, let go all attachments. What are attachments? Attachments are our built-in desires, our wishes for outcomes, holding on to things, attachments. And thirdly, engage the body in karma yoga, which is selfless service. Dedicate ourselves to service, not for our own benefit, but rather for others. Selfless service. There's a lot here. Letting go of attachments is related to mentally controlling the senses, isn't it? Our senses desire certain things, and we become attached to those things. Our senses desires, our food, our experience of community and love, for example.
The cap has to win.
Pardon?
The Washington Capitol has to win.
Watching the Washington Capitals. I miss Monday night football.
This is where the friends are around. I don't want to go watch them. They're there. They need to belong.
Yeah, my sister and her husband, like many people, are attached to the Super Bowl. And every year they have a Super Bowl party. Everybody comes around, eats food, has a good time. It's not that we don't do the things that we do, but we let go our attachment so that in the event those things we're looking forward to don't come so, we are still at peace and at light and can say thank you, God, for what this day has brought forth. All right, a lot to look at here. We're going to jump ahead now and look at a Sanskrit word. We did this last week, but I'm going to look a little deeper here. First, I want to preface this by our understanding of the word sacrifice. What is a sacrifice to us here? What do we think of when we hear the word sacrifice? Today, I heard in the service that part of our Memorial Day celebration is honoring the sacrifice of the soldiers who were killed in wartime. So that's one sacrifice. For what did those soldiers sacrifice their lives? For what did those soldiers sacrifice their lives? What's our understanding?
Freedom.
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 Justice, democracy.
Our country.
Our way of life.
Our way of life. So our understanding and way of looking at Memorial Day is those soldiers sacrificed their life, gave their life for the way of life we enjoy here today. It turns out when many soldiers are interviewed after the war, their primary motivation
was their buddy. To protect him.
To protect their buddy and to live up to the expectations of their buddies and not let them down. And not let them down. Even so, as a country, we look at their sacrifice as having given themselves for their country. There are other meanings of sacrifice in our consciousness. For example, if we look at old movies, we see people being sacrificed on the sacrificial altar, so the sacrifice has something to do with blood, doesn't it? Blood. What was it? The acres threw the young girls over the cliff as a sacrifice. So that's another idea of sacrifice that we have. Also, we have the idea that sometimes we sacrifice ourselves or something we want for the benefit of others. So we have these various meanings of sacrifice. In the long-term Roman Catholic tradition, Jesus went to death willingly as a sacrifice to atone for man's sin. Isn't that right? It's another way of, part of the consciousness of sacrifice.
Basically, it means to give up something we value, or like our lives, or something we want to do or possess.
Yes. So sacrifice is to give up something dear to us for some other outcome. That is a larger good. And we're going to look now at a Sanskrit word for sacrifice. In Sanskrit, a sacrificial ritual is called a yajna. Yajna. This yajna is a particular kind of sacrifice. It's not giving blood or killing people or ourselves. Rather, it's giving up something for something else in a ritual. So that's what this Sanskrit word stands for. And Satchitananda tells us, but that's only the outward expression. Anything you do for the benefit of others is a true yajna. Anything you do which might be a sacrifice of your time or your resources, but you do it for the benefit of others, that's a yajna. And yajna is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. That's why we're looking at the meaning of it. If some benefit does just happen to come to you in your sacrifice, all right, let it come, and don't be repulsed by it.
So if the world thinks you're a hero because of what you did, accept it.
Yes, if the world thinks you're a hero, you could respond with pride.
Or disdain.
Or disdain. And he's suggesting, no, just let it come. Don't get attached to it, and don't attach to it with pride or disdain it with repulsion. Just let it be. But don't do it for the sake of what will come to you. So a true yajnam is something done selflessly for the benefit of others.
The most recent example of that would be perhaps that school teacher at middle school who shooter came in his classroom, was going in shooting guns, and he stepped forward and tackled the kid.
Sacrificially.
And he was shot 3 times himself. So.
And he just got out of the hospital.
He was just released today, right. Sacrificial. And of course, we all think he's a hero. Lives were saved because he put himself in danger. He was willing to basically sacrifice his life to save his students.
Yes, and we look at it as a sacrifice. And yet, when you talk to those people and ask them, well, what was going on in your head when you sacrificed yourself for these children, usually what we get is, nothing. I just did what was mine to do.
Just no thought. It's just reaction.
It's like the child who falls in the water and the guy jumps in to save him. Weren't you worried you might drown yourself?
No,
it's just saving the child. That's a true yajna. That's a true yajna. The authentic action which is selfless and without looking for a particular outcome. Okay, there you go. So we got the word. Now we can look at the slokas. We're going to look at 3 slokas and then a commentary on them. Okay, here goes. And I can tell you this, by the way, Satchitananda, is going to recommend that through a consciousness of yajna, acting for the benefit of others, that is how we can achieve this spiritual transformation. It's a tool. So here are some slokas which support that. Number 8. The sloka says, do your duty. Such action is better than doing nothing. If you attempt to renounce all actions, it would be impossible to maintain your body. We just talked about situations where someone did their duty, not in the sense of they thought of this as like a military person was, I have to do my duty. No, it's just a natural duty that came forth. And such action is better than doing nothing. Sometimes we might think about an action we're about to perform. If there's time to, the guy who stood in front of the gunman didn't have time to think. Neither did the guy who jumped off the bridge to save the child. But if we have time to think, we might pause and say, better do nothing. Sloka says, no. What is yours to do, do. And that action is better than doing nothing. Then it talks about attempting to renounce all actions. In the tradition of becoming a holy person, renouncement of attachments is one of the steps. And this loka says we do not renounce all actions, right? Actions are a natural part of who we are. So it's not that we renounce actions, rather we renounce our attitude towards the actions. We become unattached to the actions. So we have to act, otherwise we couldn't maintain our body, our heart beats, our lungs breathe, our digestion works. Actions are a natural part of us. Number 9. The world is bondage when actions are done just for your own sake. Therefore, Arjuna, this is the Lord Krishna speaking to us. We are Arjuna, the prince here. Therefore, Arjuna, make every action a yajna, a sacrifice, utterly free of personal attachment. That's the teaching. Make every action a yajna, utterly free of personal attachment. That's a pretty big load, isn't it?
Ego.
Ego. The letting go of our ego. Maybe the sacrifice we make is our ego self.
Yeah,
killing
exactly.
The ego self. Easier said than done.
Yeah, if you stop and think before you do your duty, like that gentleman didn't stop to think, he just did his duty. But if you stop to think about it too much, that's when the ego kicks in.
Right, you shouldn't do this. Or,
right.
This isn't a good idea.
Right.
What
I
if?
May lose my life, and oh my goodness, you know.
But the irony is that if he had not done it, he might have still lost his life.
Yes, that's true. That's very true.
Right.
Right.
We don't know.
We don't know. But obviously, he responded.
So the mind is not always a reliable predictor of the future.
Oh my God, no.
What comes up for us to do feels right, and we know it's right no matter what happened. And these people we call heroes know that what they did was right no matter what, whether they saved the person or not. Did what was theirs to do. Make every action a yajna, utterly free of personal attachment. After creating humankind together with yajna, or sacrifice, the Creator said, through sacrifice you will increase yourself and get everything you want. Get everything you want. There is a song today. What was that song? Whatever you dream, you will get. In the service, there, what was the name of that song? Whatever you dream, you will get. Now I've forgotten the name of it. So here's the sloka saying that when we were created, with sacrifice. And through sacrifice, you will increase yourself and get everything you want. That's a loaded word, isn't it? Get everything you want.
And it's totally the opposite of Western philosophy. Western, it's exactly the opposite. It isn't in Western civilization. We're not taught that we're going to get what we want through giving up or through doing duty or sacrificing.
Yes, in the Western tradition, we go for it. We willfully go for it. And if you work hard enough, then you will achieve the American dream, and you'll get the spouse, you'll get the car, you'll get the house, and you'll get the good retirement, and people will admire and respect you.
And yet, in the Bible, it agrees with this.
Yes.
So, biblically, if we were truly based on in God, we trust, it would be biblical. It would not be what we've got.
Yes, it says so in the Bible. And we also know that sometimes when we get something we wanted so much, just wanted that diamond ring for years and years and years, and we wanted that sports car with the top down, sometimes we get those things and they're not totally satisfying. We have to maintain them. We have to worry about someone stealing them. Not totally satisfying in attachment to them. In the Bible, it says, to those that have, it shall be given. To those that have not, even that which they have shall be taken away. Got it? To those that have, it shall be given. To those that have not, grasping, wishing, desiring, attachment, even that which they have shall be taken away.
Absolutely true. Those who want to get rich quick end up losing most of what they have going after getting rich.
They could. And even if they get rich, they may find out that they've lost something more important than the money.
But the charlatans are aware of this nature and realize for those who are blindly looking for riches, for wealth, for to be rich quick, they fall straight into that trap of the charlatans, the con artists, etc. And what happens is those con artists extract what these people have, what little they have to begin with.
So we have the people that desire to be rich, and we have the con artists who offer ways to get rich. Birds of a feather flock together.
And the result is the transfer from the, what little these people have, to the crooks.
Oh yes, crooks.
We can look at that. We can also look at to those who have, namely to each of us who knows I have enough, like I am now. The universe is arranged perfectly, just as God intended it. Everything is perfectly okay right now. Then if more things flow to me, I can look at them as more energy and a blessing. If things flow away from me, I can look at it as, well, they're somewhere. They're somewhere, they're just not with me. And everything is in perfect order. To those that have, it shall be given. To those that have not, even that which they have shall be taken away.
Interesting.
Same thing here. God created yasana, sacrifice. Through sacrifice, you will increase yourself and get everything you want. Now, Satchitananda wants to take a close look at what we want. Because, as we just discussed, there's some risks there. And what we want. He's going to have a lot of fun with this. All right, here's his commentary concerning what is we want. The promise is we're going to get what we want through sacrifice, good behavior. Now let's look at what we want. All right, when God created the beautiful Garden of Eden, he didn't say a word to all those plants and fruits and flowers and trees and animals. He didn't talk to them. He could have said at least something to the dogs and cats. No, he just created them and allowed them to play around. This is according to the Bible. He didn't even say anything to the snake or the scorpion. He could have said, "Don't sting anybody." But no, he didn't say anything. So they just behave naturally. Only when he created humans, he opened his mouth and said, "Oops. My little boy, don't eat the fruit. Don't eat the fruit."
Of that one tree.
And what is the name of that tree?
The tree of knowledge of good and evil.
The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil. Not the tree of wisdom, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When we know about good and evil, we divide things. Not as God intended. We divide things. This is good, this is not good.
According to our judgment.
Right.
It's knowledge of good and evil. We ate the fruit, now we got the knowledge. Metaphorically. How do we actually get the knowledge of what is good and bad? Well, when we grow up, or when our parents civilize us, one of the things they do is teach us what's good and what's bad. It's one of the sources of it. We also make our own discoveries. We discover that touching a hot stove is bad.
Ice is good.
And eating the ice cream is good. Eating vegetables are bad, they don't taste good. Eating peanut butter and jelly is good, it tastes good. So we learn through our language, since the purpose of language is to make divisions between things. Words divide things. Learn what's good and what's evil. Metaphorically, we ate the fruit. And in the Bible, God said, "My little boy, don't eat the fruit." Why? Because it's only at the human level have we been given the freedom to choose right and wrong. And we need to look at it as a freedom, because for most of us, where we are today, we don't see it as a freedom, we see it as just the way things are, based on our upbringing, our society, how people respect us, how we perceive people respect us.
How we communicate.
Yes?
How we communicate.
How we communicate. Mm-hmm. So we don't see it as a freedom. And yet we can hold it as a freedom. When you are free to choose right and wrong, you're also free not to choose right and wrong. Why? It's only at the human level we've been given the freedom to choose right and wrong. So naturally there should be guidance also. Let's look at the guidance. According to Sloka 10, the guidance from the Lord is, "Well, humanity, I've created you, and I'm giving you the ability to sacrifice, yajna, to make an offering. By this, you propagate yourself." So by looking at our actions as a sacrifice, as an offering, we may propagate ourselves. We may increase ourselves. Let this yajna, or sacrifice, be your milking cow. As he puts it in this interesting way, cows have such a great position in Indian society. You don't kill cows. Cows are the source of milk and nourishment, and they're honored in the Indian society. So, milking cow. Let your sacrifice, your resolution to not be self-centered, but rather to center yourself on the needs of others, let that be your milking cow. Of course, it doesn't mean just a regular cow. Really? This cow represents everything you want, you get. Everything you want, you get. Now we need to look at what it is we want. What it is we want. Here's a fun story coming up here. According to Hindu mythology, there's a cow known as Kama Dhenu. Kama Dhenu, part of that tradition. Kama Dhenu. Kama means desire, Dhenu means the giver. The givers of desire. So there's a cow that gives you whatever you desire. Whatever you want, you get. If you have a kamadhena at your home, all your desires are fulfilled. You simply want it, you get it. You want it, you get it. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Aladdin and the Magic Lamp.
Aladdin and the Magic Lamp. Of course, that story has an unfortunate ending, doesn't it? This story might have an unfortunate ending as well. Do we have such a kamadhena today? Yes, we do. It's not that there's only a mythological cow somewhere. No, everybody has been given a kamadhena, a boon-giving device. Everyone has been given that. And what it is we are given is the ability to perform every action without ego, without self-interest, but for the benefit of others. That is our Aladdin's lamp. That is our kama. That's it. Well, we may misuse it. There is also a tree known as the boon-giving tree. I feel that this tree is the tree that became transformed into the Christmas tree. A tree with all the gifts underneath. It's a boon-giving tree. Just go there, think what you want, and get it. Or rather, tell your parents.
To make sure they're aware, right?
Give them the list. Or tell Santa Claus at the mall what it is you want for Christmas. And there it shows up under the Christmas tree. The boon-giving tree. A great woman, a saint of Yar, once said, even after having gone and sat under that boon-giving tree, if you ask for bitter fruit, that's your destiny. So we need to be careful what we want. Careful what we want. Don't want to ask for bitter fruit. It's ready to give everything, but it won't give it to you unless you ask, and you should know what to ask for. I think now he has this fun story. Ah, yeah, here's this fun story. Once a fellow went to the jungle and became very tired. He found a beautiful tree and sat beneath it, but the ground was thorny. He couldn't lie down anywhere. How nice it would be if I had a small cot. Aladdin is coming. The minute he thought of it, he found himself sitting on a cot. Oh boy, I have a cot. He lay down. This is very comfortable, but I'm also hungry. I could use something to eat, maybe a banana. Immediately, a bunch of bananas appeared. What's this? He couldn't believe his eyes. It seems that whatever I want, I can get here. And then how about some gourmet cooking? Immediately, plates filled with delicacies, delicious dishes, pudding, and desserts appeared. Gets better. He ate sumptuously and then thought, it would be nice if there were someone to massage my feet and put me to sleep. Even as he thought of it, there was already a beautiful, angel-like person there massaging his feet. He became excited. Oh ho, it looks like whatever I'm thinking, I'm getting. Now I have a comfortable bed, a good sumptuous meal, and somebody to massage my feet. But what if, while I'm getting the massage, I fall asleep and suddenly a tiger comes from the jungle? What will happen? Immediately he heard the roar and a tiger appeared and devoured him.
Anything
that's
that
great.
Thought came into being.
Wow.
Thoughts.
Fear.
Watch your thoughts.
Fear.
Right. Control your thoughts.
This is
unity's
second principle, isn't it?
Yeah.
By the thoughts held in mind, we create our reality. By the thoughts held in mind, we create our reality. So we need to be cautious.
Yeah, what is it, Winston Churchill? We don't have fear. Fear itself to fear.
Franklin Roosevelt, right? I have nothing
Roosevelt.
To fear but
okay.
fear itself.
Roosevelt, Churchill.
And as the sage says, and not even that. Remember, he said, we have nothing to fear, fear itself.
Or is that cat?
And the wise men said, and not even that.
Postscript.
So, what to do with such a person? He was under a boon-giving tree. Whatever he wanted, he got. Sometimes people are like that. They can get everything, but they don't know what to ask for. The spiritual teaching is, what are we truly asking for? Are we allowing good things to come in our life rather than putting up a barrier to them? Are we accepting when things that are not as pleasing come into our life rather than resisting them? Is our singletana desire to be a yashna, a sacrifice, a service to others? And it is through that consciousness the scriptures are telling us we truly get everything we want, in the sense that we see we already have everything that we need. To those that have, it shall be given. Already have everything we need. More things might come, some things might be taken away. And we are in that blessed moment of the now, when everything is okay as is. It's a challenge for our consciousness. That's why sacrifice, yajna, was given by the Creator. Don't look for anything just for yourself. Let your life be a sacrifice. Yes. If you use this guidance, which I give you, certainly you'll prosper. In order to prosper, the most important thing, the one and only thing, is living a dedicated life, committed to service.
Zig Ziglar took that point and commercialized it as, you can have anything that you want as long as you give other people what they want.
Right. Sure, yeah. And you got it from somebody else, actually.
But look at the wisdom of that. It's the same wisdom.
Yeah.
As long as you don't focus on yourself and getting, you focus on giving other people what they want,
that's
everything will come to you.
Because when you give other people what they want, what do you really get?
Yeah.
Great feeling of satisfaction.
Right, but Zig Ziglar meant more than that, because by meeting the needs of others, they're happy to pay you, they're happy to reward you, they're happy to acclaim you. So in multiple ways, you will get everything your heart can desire by first focusing on giving other people what they want.
Yes, giving other people. And yet, if you give other people what they want, attached to the idea that it's going to result in you getting things, then you're not truly giving other people what they want.
Right. So
you're rather making a contract with them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give other people everything they want, and then God is going to give me what I want.
I'm sure Zig Ziglar was not a disciple of this, but on the surface, it does make sense from his Western perspective.
I agree, and it's a great way to look at it. And the next step is to not be attached to things that come our way through selfless service.
And the way that he interpreted it is, once all these rewards and acclaim comes to you, use those resources to benefit others.
There you go.
So it's a cycle.
Yeah, so he knew. All right, how are we doing on time? Well, it's about 4 minutes to 11, and we need to close now. After we finished most of this lesson. Any other comments or questions before we close?
I remember one minister said, you know, people were complaining, you know, well, you know, I'm supposed to be getting what I want. I ask for this, I don't get it. He said, the thing is, the universe is always saying yes. So be careful. What do you think?
Be careful what you want.
Yeah, because the universe is always saying,
the universe is that boon-giving tree.
That's right.
Be careful what you want.
I went to a seminar years and years ago, close, and we wrote down things we wanted. And I don't know where this came. I wrote down I wanted five rental properties, seven rental properties. My parents were in real estate. Unfortunately, I got what I wanted.
Be careful what you ask for. Right?
Let's close by making the sound of Om together. Let's take three deep and conscious breaths. And the deep in breath.
Thank you.
Thank you.